Very warm welcome to you to our service of communion this morning. Welcome to those who are watching online at home. I'd like to give out some notices. First, to tell you about the waiting room, which is happening this coming Wednesday, an opportunity to be still and quiet here in church. Information about a ladies' breakfast on Saturday at the Alturo. Some information about the Real Deal Live. Come and see Rod's professional act. Listen to how he escaped from a world of addiction. That's at St. Andrew's on the 15th. And Messy Church is here Thursday at 3:30. There's a Christmas choir being set up for the carol service down at St. Andrew's. And if you'd like to be involved in that, please do contact Debbie for more details. Today, of course, we are continuing our theme, looking at the life of David, and today we're looking particularly at Psalm 51 and David's remorse. But of course, today is also Remembrance Sunday, when we remember those whose lives have been taken away in wars and conflicts past and present. And we keep in prayer those who are suffering today as a result of conflict. So would you please stand? We respond in the words in white. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also
with you. So let us sing, God is our strength and refuge, from Psalm 46. Please be seated. Let us confess to God the sins and shortcomings of the world, its pride, its selfishness and greed, its evil divisions and hatreds. Let us confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek the peace God desires. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We've lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We've lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We've lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer of commemoration for this Remembrance Sunday. Together we pray. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love, and bring us all with them to your eternal joy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Be still and know your Creator. We'll remain seated to sing. Pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to look at your word and hear your voice, will you open our hearts? Will you speak to us so that we may leave here this morning knowing we've heard from you? In Jesus' name, amen. So we turn to Psalm 51, and Paul's going to come and read to us.
The reading this morning is taken from Psalm 51, which can be found on page 573 of the Church Bibles. That's page 573. And the psalm was written by David after the prophet Nathan had come to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And Paul is going to come now and share what the Lord has laid upon his heart for us.
There's wonderful words at the beginning of our service, which St. Paul uses actually when he writes several of his letters. Just those three wonderful words: grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Lord, may these words come afresh to us this morning. Give us that due sense, as that lovely old prayer puts it, that due sense of all thy mercies, that we be unfeignedly thankful. Your mercies, Lord, as we come to receive the precious body and blood of Jesus. The corn which makes the holy bread by which the soul of man is fed. The holy bread, the food unpriced. Thy everlasting mercy, Christ. Amen. So there's just one word, really, which I just felt to write this morning to share from the Lord with us. It's the word mercy. I hope Andy does great work at the back. I hope if you're at home listening or hearing it later, you see this word mercy. It's such a wonderful, amazing word. What is mercy? And I'm not going to give you an easy answer, because you've got to find your own definition of it for you. Who have you shown mercy to, even this last week? Who has shown mercy to you? Have you shown mercy to yourself? Sometimes the most difficult thing of all. I love walking in our churchyard here. It's very close to our home here in Morven Wells. And I love looking at the epitaphs. I don't know if you ever do this, or is it just me? I don't know. But wonderful words on some of the graves, forever in our thoughts. You know, a beloved grandfather, father, whatever, mother. My in-laws have a tablet and it just says these four words, your grace is sufficient. And I walk past that several times in a week and I just pause there, your grace is sufficient. But a wonderful epitaph, and if you're a bit stuck about your own, this is just a suggestion. C.S. Lewis, one of his great mentors, and I know Jeff knows this poet well, George MacDonald, he had three words for his epitaph when he was going to die. Under the mercy. Under the mercy. What an epitaph to have on one's own tablet, on one's own grave. And it's a good one for King David. You really need to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12 for this, the background to this amazing psalm which Paul read so beautifully. Basically, he's broken 2 commands. We all know the story. He'd seen this beautiful woman on the rooftop, Bathsheba, and he wanted her. And he'll go to any lengths to get her. He'll murder her husband, who's on the front of the battle in war. He'll commit adultery. Those are 2 of the great commandments that were given. But actually, there are other commandments in these very acts. He's stealing somebody. He's bearing false witness. He's coveting. And in this psalm, there is no attempt by David to hide. He is a man weighed down by remorse. Then someone said to me in the week, remorse is not the best word for this. Remorse, you can be remorseful and do nothing. Maybe you can come up with another word. A familiar one to us is just repentance, downright repentance, which means a changing of mind which changes my direction in life. And this is what David is after in this psalm. Transformation is another word, transformation. You see, he even has no words. When he says, O Lord, open my lips, I mean, I've read these words during the morning prayer for many, many years. Lord, open our lips, our mouth shall show forth thy praise, here in Psalm 51. But actually, these are dramatic words. It's David saying, I've got no words. Lord, you've got to open the words of my mouth. I can't. This is the state that this man is in. I cannot make amends. It was G.K. Chesterton, the great poet writer, who said, "The one spiritual disease is thinking that one is quite well." What a disease, my dear friends, to think that one is quite well is a deadly disease. I love those words in the collect. There is no health in us. So many of these collects just put it all in very simple ways. And there's three powerful words in this psalm about there being no health. It's the word transgression. Blot out my transgressions, my rebellions. There's the word iniquity, the deep alienation that is within my own soul. And there's the word sin, which means just constantly missing the mark. I want to get that arrow into the center of the bullseye, and every time it falls short. And the psalmist, David, even says here, in sin, I don't know if, I always find this difficult, in sin did my mother conceive me. But actually it goes back to birth. In a child, there is a tendency to want my own way. They are great blessings. Thank God for kids around us. But my... they are not little angels. I speak as a grandfather of five who are under nine. Little Jesse, he's three years old. My wife goes down regularly to Bristol to visit, help out with the family, help out with the kids. She went into the front door the other day, and there was Jesse with a sword in his hand, a sort of playful sword, but it was a sword. "I'm going to kill you." And she said, as any of us would say, "Oh, well, you know, that's not very nice, is it?" He said, "Goliath did." Oh, 3 years old. Somehow, you know, you can get other words, the manipulation of a child. Granddad, Mum says, I can do it. Of course, Mum hasn't said this at all. The sheer manipulation, the innate selfishness. Gosh. And strong words are used here by David as he just acknowledges all of this as part of his life. Blot out. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me. And David sees the great ally of his life is the Lord God. Lord God, blot out. Lord God, cleanse me. Lord God, wash me thoroughly. He is my great ally. And as St. Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? This, of course, is where St. Paul says this is where the cross comes in, isn't it? Who can be against us? Look at Jesus, who died, who was raised from the dead, who sits at the right hand of God, like our Reados here by the altar, and intercedes for us. John Sintamu, lovely Ugandan man who was our last Archbishop of York, he wrote these words: "For me, it is God's constant forgiveness of my sins that daily causes me to stand in awe of him as nothing else does." This is amazing in church this morning, isn't it? To stand in awe. There's nothing greater we need and nothing greater than is offered than forgiveness of our sins for mercy, mercy, mercy. I need this. I need the blotting out. I need the cleansing. I need the washing. I need, as the psalmist says here, as David says here, to hear again joy and gladness. Have you lost a bit of joy and gladness in your life? It goes easily from mine. I sometimes wake up and Diana just tells me, you know what you said this morning? You said, oh dear, oh dear. Lord, restore to me the joy and gladness of waking up in the morning, however I may be feeling, but still the joy and gladness. Restore to me. Restore my salvation to me. Sustain me by your good spirit. These are wonderful words in this psalm for all of us. And I can't do it. I can't do it. But Lord, don't cast me away, David says here. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hear the cry and make this cry yours this morning as I make it mine. Lord, don't cast me away. Don't take your Spirit from me. And Lord, I find it so difficult just to take one of those commands, that the coveting, how easily I covet someone else's gift, how easily I covet something they've got and I haven't, or their financial state, or their health, which I don't have, or their seeming success, and often it's only seeming. Lord, blot out, wash, cleanse me. Have mercy. But you see, the wonderful thing in this psalm is right at the beginning, have mercy because of your steadfast love. Let me just read it again. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and according to your great compassion. This is the heart of God and the heart of Christ. It's this steadfast love out of which everything goes. That's why those words at the beginning of our service, grace comes before mercy, and out of mercy comes peace. But it's grace first of all. It's grace. I have a pair of scales here, and I've always valued going to new wine. Our family have gained so much at New Wine, the great conference they have each year. And I remember at one seminar, the leader of the seminar talking about credits and debits in your life. And he said about how he and his wife would work out, we want to borrow something from somebody, have I enough credit? Or I've asked too much, my debits are too great in this relationship, I can't take it any further. And yet, oh, here's someone who'll help me because I did this for them. And it's so easy. And I think what he was really saying was that in the end, we're not weighing on scales. What is debit? What is credit? In the end, and I just put upon the scales there this cross, which is so wonderful cross made by someone in our congregation. Because you see, at the cross, there is no credit. And there's no debit. It's all, almost all or nothing. It's God saying, your debits aren't important, nor your credits when you say, you know, I'm good, I can do this, or Lord, I feel so awful today, I can't face you. He says, all of that goes. All of that goes. We're not dealing with scales. We're dealing with utter mercy and utter grace, and that is something which is not easy, I think, for us to take on board. God does not use scales. God comes to us today as the one who says, with me, it's all credit and your debit doesn't matter at all. This is communion, isn't it? Empty hands, no debit. It's all credit from God. And this is where I just come to the end of what I'm sharing, this wonderful picture which we've got here, and Jeff has done so well to find this. I don't know if you know this Rembrandt. Afterwards, do come and look at it, because I've got a larger one there, which we have actually in our room at the bottom of our stairs. So every time I come down the stairs of our house, this is what I look at. And it's the prodigal son coming back. All the debit, all the credit, it doesn't matter. And I love, it's Luke 15:20. When the father saw him from afar, his heart was filled with compassion, and he ran, and he enfolded, embraced his son with his arms, and he kissed him. Luke 15:20 is the most amazing verse in the scripture. No credit, no scales, no debit. It doesn't matter. The Father sees from afar. He's been looking and waiting, waiting. But the waiting Father becomes the running Father. I love that. Filled with compassion, he runs. And you never hear anybody else running. Jesus never ran, did he? You don't. Fathers don't run. Why did he run? Why? You've got to turn to Deuteronomy 21, I think it's verse 18. And it says this, and you have to use that scripture with this one of Luke 5:20. Because it says that where there is a rebellious or a stubborn son, the mother and father are to take him, and he, this son who's profligate and who's drunken, and take him to the city gate, and he is to be stoned. That's Deuteronomy 21, 18, I think. Why does the father run? And I've learnt this from a Lebanese man who wrote about it, who was 30 years in the Middle East and who came to an understanding of this parable. Because Muslims used to say to him, Kenneth Bailey was his name, Kenneth, you know, you say the cross is the heart of your faith, but in your most famous parable there's no cross. And Kenneth would say, yes, there is. Because the father ran in order to take the stones upon himself so that the son would be set free. That is mercy. He's got to get there first to save his son. The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. There's a verse, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that says, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The Father takes it as the Son upon himself. That, I think, is mercy. That, I think, is grace. And so as we come to the communion, as we come to our 2 minute silence, just a few minutes time for us to realize that, Lord, I come this morning to the bread and wine. I come with empty hands. I come like this prodigal. And there's another one. There's two more, because I love these two, which Jeff has done so well. The one on the left, isn't that beautiful? That's how an Indian sees the prodigal. you don't see a face. I was just looking at this. I've got it here, looking at it with June just before the service. And there's no face, but just the sheer bodily language. That's how we come to communion this morning. Look at the Sudanese one on the right, the pain, the different kind of pain in the father and the son, and yet the hug and the holding close. And I've got several other here from one or two other cultures, just to see how other people see this amazing story of the mercy and the grace poured out by the Father on his Son. And of course, another way of seeing this is that the Son himself is the beloved Son, Christ, coming from a far country where he's been, taking all the sin of everybody, coming back to his Father, and they are enveloped in the wonderful love of the Blessed Holy Trinity. So we're just going to have a few moments of quiet, because perhaps we can just move on to this finally, are these amazing words from the Jesus Prayer. Some of you will know it. We've used them here once or twice in the past, but it just seemed to be the right words to have this morning. I go to an Orthodox monastery every year, and 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening, the community say these words in all the different European languages. It's a community of 40, 45 men and women from all around Europe live together in this monastery. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It starts with me, it starts with you. Has to start here with me, but it moves out. Have mercy, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. And this is the most wonderful prayer of intercession. Have mercy on your whole world. What a prayer. So Lord, we just come now. We come before communion and for coming with our empty hands, crying out, blot out, cleanse me, blot out my iniquities, cleanse me, wash me thoroughly. Wash us this morning, Lord, in this church, through us, so many people, as we sing in a few moments, grace, mercy and peace, the peace to move from us through this mercy, through this grace. Just murmur in our own hearts, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us as a church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon your whole world. That world which Joanne will be leading us to pray for in a few moments. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. We start our prayers for this Remembrance Sunday with a prayer from the Church of England website. Now you may wish to focus on the poppy on the screen, or close your eyes and imagine a wild poppy blowing in the breeze, or touch the poppy you are wearing. Look at your poppy. Poppies are bright and cheerful flowers. Give thanks to God for the lives of those who have died in war, remembering all the joy they brought to families and friends, and all the good things they did for their home and country. Now look at the red petals. Red reminds us of danger and harm, so we ask God to be close to those who are still facing danger each day, to give courage to our armed forces and compassion to all who help others. Imagine placing your whole hand over the poppy. Poppies are also fragile and need to be handled gently. God cares for those who are hurting and those who are sad, and we ask God to comfort all who are grieving the loss of someone they love. Finally, look at the centre of the poppy and ask God to help us play our part in working for peace in our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those presently serving in our armed forces, that you will watch over them and keep them safe. We pray for those struggling physically and mentally, and ask you to provide the support they need at this time and to give them hope for their future. We pray for those in authority who make decisions regarding how our armed forces interact and respond with the rest of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our two church centres and our rector Dave and his family as we approach Christmas. This is the time when we want to tell everyone the good news of your birth. We ask you to be with Dave, our retired clergy, lay readers and church wardens as we enter this busy season. We pray that they and all of us will take time to spend with you, to reflect and give thanks for what Christmas means to each one of us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Lord, we quietly lift to you those we know who are in need of your loving touch of healing, strength, and peace in their lives at this time. We ask Jesus that they may know your presence with them each and every day, walking by their side on their journey. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And together we close saying the words on the screen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We're going to stand for our act of remembrance now, which will begin with the playing of the last post as Jean carries the wreath from the front to the back to our war memorial plaques, and we will turn as she passes us to look there. Would you please stand? Sorry, it should be playing. Please turn to the front for our 2 minute silence. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Our communion prayer is beauty for brokenness, hope for despair.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our communion prayer. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like to have more. You who've been to this sacrament often and you who have not been for a long time. You who've tried to follow Jesus and you who failed, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you." In the same way, he took the cup of wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." Loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice for our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Together we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come. And as Peter comes to assist, a reminder that we serve our communion in two parts. If you wish to receive a wafer dipped in the wine, would you come up first, please? If, on the other hand, you wish to share in the common cup, we will give you some gluten-free pita bread and the cup to share. Please come up in the second phase. Come. Our closing hymn this morning is "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Please stand.
Stone is solid ground, fell through the
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts as a token of our love for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please sit. After the service finishes, there is an opportunity for you to have a cup of coffee at the front here. But if you would like some prayer, there's a little group at the back there of people who are very, very happy to pray with you. And it may be that something this morning has struck your heart and you feel you need to have some ministry of prayer. Please avail yourself of that. Then at 12:30, we're having a shared lunch together. So if you need to pop home and get a dish and bring it back, you're most welcome to do that. We'll start at 12:30. But if you haven't got anything, just stay and have lunch with us. There'll be plenty. Thank you. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.